All right, we're glad that you could be with us. It'll take me just a second to get started here. We're going to be in Acts chapter 19, starting at verse number 9 this morning, and we're dealing with Paul's third missionary journey. His third missionary journey is reported in Acts 18, 23 through 21, 26. This journey took him through Galatia and Phrygia, and eventually to Ephesus. In other words, he went basically all the way through Turkey, where he spent 2 to 3 years. Paul spoke boldly in the synagogue in Ephesus over a three-month period while seeking to persuade those who assembled about the kingdom of God. When a good number of Jews rejected Christ, Paul stopped going to the synagogue, but took the believers with him and for 2 years continued proclaiming the gospel in the school operated by a man named Tyrannus. God performed many special miracles by Paul. His handkerchiefs and aprons were brought to the sick, which resulted in many being healed and many demons being cast out. Christ was held in high esteem after some 7 Jewish exorcists attempted to cast demons out of those who were possessed with them. A demon-possessed man attacked them and overcame them, and the incident was well known locally. The result of Paul's ministry in Ephesus is summarized in 19, 18 through 20. Paul determined to travel through northern and southern Greece and then head to Jerusalem. The purpose of his trip was to gather the collection for the impoverished saints in Jerusalem. After this, it was his intent to go to Rome. As Paul's ministry was concluding in Ephesus, he sent Timothy and Erastus ahead of him to Macedonia in order that they might prepare the churches there for the completion of the collection for the impoverished saints in Jerusalem. Meanwhile, he continued in Ephesus, where trouble arose as a result of the success of the gospel. It was instigated by a silversmith named Demetrius. The trouble developed over the effect Christianity was having on the business of making idols. Well, you know, when people got saved, they didn't need their idols anymore, so they weren't buying them any longer. And if you want to hurt somebody's practice, you get him into finances, and that's exactly what was happening. We read about this in Acts 19, 9 through 22. But when divers are not speaking about those that go underwater looking for various things. They're speaking about many different people. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth." And there were 7 sons of one Sceva, a Jew and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye?" And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. After these things were ended, Paul purposed in the spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a season. Now let's go back and work our way through this text and see what we can discern from it. According to verse number 9, when a good number of Jews rejected Christ, Paul stopped going to the synagogue. He took the believers with him, but continued proclaiming the gospel in the school operated by a man named Tyrannus. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. As translated, but implies a mild contrast with verse 8. It's transitioning in the sense of then or now. When divers were hardened is when certain ones or when some were being hardened or were becoming hardened and believed not and were disbelieving or and were disobedient. They had made up their minds that they were going to reject Christ as their Savior. In the New Testament, and believed not is and were disbelieving or and were disobedient. In the New Testament, the supreme act of disobedience is rejecting the gospel message. The tense of were hardened and of believed indicates continuing or repeated action in past time. Their minds were made up. There were a number of them, many of them perhaps, and they continued their rejection of Jesus as their Savior. But spake evil of is used in conjunction with were hardened and with believed. It has been translated as indicating a fact in addition to were hardened and believed, and its tense indicates ongoing or repeated action at the same time as the actions of were hardened and of believed. But spake evil of means they were speaking evil of, they were reviling, or they were insulting. That way is the way. And it speaks of the specific way or the specific teaching Paul was proclaiming regarding the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation. Of course, you know what it would have been. It would have been that Jesus Christ, God the Son, died on the cross where he shed his blood, paying for the sins of all humanity, and that he rose again from the dead in order to demonstrate God's approval and acceptance of his sacrifice. Well, these people didn't want that. We have people like that today, and they don't want it either. But for those of us who've trusted Christ as our Savior, we would not hesitate to recommend that this is the only way to go spiritually. Before the crowd, or rather before the multitude, is before, meaning in the sight of or in the presence of the crowd, meaning the large number of people in the synagogue. He departed from them. It's used in correct conjunction with separated. And it's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to separated. It means he, that is Paul, went away or withdrew from them and separated the disciples, is and took away the disciples, meaning took away those who had decided to trust Christ as their Savior. When Paul abandoned the Jewish synagogue, Those Jews who had been saved as a result of his proclaiming the gospel also abandoned the Jewish synagogue and remained with him. Disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus is used in conjunction with separated. It indicates a fact in addition to separated, and its tense indicates ongoing or repeated action occurring at the same time as the action of separated. Disputing is used especially of instructional discourse that frequently includes exchange of opinions and is understood in the sense of and was conversing and was discussing, or perhaps even and was arguing. Daily is day by day or day after day. In the school of one Tyrannus, it means in the lecture hall of a certain Tyrannus. It was a lecture hall belonging to a man named Tyrannus. And I don't know whether he was a saved man or not, but he allowed Paul to be in that lecture hall and doing what he did on a daily basis. For 2 years, Paul continued proclaiming the gospel in the school operated by Tyrannus, with the result that all those in Asia heard the message of salvation. You have to remember now, it's our responsibility to proclaim the message. It's God's responsibility to save those that will believe it. You can't save them. You can't even talk them into it, but God, the Holy Spirit, can. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia, that would be Asia Minor, which would be in Turkey, heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And transitions to the next thought in the sense of now. They continued, or rather this continued by the space of 2 years. It means this happened or took place for 2 years or over a period of 2 years. So that suggests with the result that all they which dwelt in Asia is all the ones who were inhabiting Asia Minor heard the word of the Lord Jesus. It suggests heard the message about the Lord Jesus. Both Jews and Greeks suggests that both Jews and Gentiles who were inhabiting Asia Minor heard the gospel message. Paul will also state to the elders of the church in Ephesus in Acts 20:31, therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Why 3 years when he just said 2 years? Well, let's go on. We'll see what we can do with that. When understood in conjunction with this, continued by the space of 2 years in Acts 19:10, it suggests that the length of his stay in Ephesus was somewhere between 2 and 3 years. But there is not necessarily a contradiction between these two statements. 3 years does not necessarily mean 3 full years of 12 months each. Both the first and third years may have been only partial years. And the months spent in Ephesus during his first year and during his third year may have added up to 12 or more months. This number of months combined with his second year in Ephesus, which would have contained exactly 12 months, may mean that he spent at least 2 years in Ephesus. It's the same thing when it comes to Jesus Christ was 3 days and 3 nights in the tomb. And some want to take that as meaning 72 hours, and yet we keep reading in the Gospels that he rose from the dead on the third day, not after 3 days, but on the third day. So your first day that Jesus was in the tomb might have only been a matter of a few minutes. It occurred on Friday before 6 o'clock or sundown. He spent 24 hours the second day. And then the third day, he rose sometime before dawn. We don't know how much time he was in the tomb on that third day, starting with sundown, but out of the tomb before sun up the next morning. What we know is that the Bible clearly teaches 3 days and three nights, and also indicates that it was the day of the preparation, which would be Friday, the day before the Sabbath. According to verse 11, God performed miracles by Paul, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. And joins the thought of verses 10 and 11. God wrought as God was performing or God was doing. Its tense indicates ongoing or repeated action in past time. Special miracles. They're not the common or ordinary miracles or deeds of power or wonders, and implies extraordinary miracles. Miracles has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, miracles, not the ordinary ones, was performing God. By the hands of Paul is through the hands of Paul, and indicates that Paul was the intermediate agent in performing these miracles, deeds of power and wonders. But God was the direct agent who actually performed them. According to verse 12, the miraculous works resulted in the healing of many and in evil spirits being cast out of many, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. So that introduces the result of the extraordinary miracles which God performed through Paul. It's understood in the sense of with the result that a word appears in the Greek text which was not translated into the English. It's understood in the sense of even. From his body means from the surface of Paul's body or from his skin. Were brought unto the sick as were taken to the ones who were sick with debilitating illnesses. What were taken to the sick were handkerchiefs. These would have been face cloths for wiping perspiration, or aprons which those working might wear. The handkerchiefs may have been tied around his forehead, and the diseases departed from them. And the diseases left them. It indicates that those who were sick with debilitating diseases were healed, and the evil spirits went out of them. Meaning, and the spirits, the evil ones, went away from them or came out of them. Those who had been demon-possessed were no longer possessed by the demons. So why doesn't this work for us today? The answer is because God no longer gives the gift of healing as of the completion of the New Testament, which occurred in approximately 90 to 95 AD, going on 2,000 years ago. What about some that profess to be healing today? Well, is Satan capable of healing? Well, of course he is. Are there a lot of professions that aren't really reliable? Yes, there are. Go by the scriptures. Don't go by what some people claim to happen. If all these people that think they're in the healing ministry want to heal people, there's a whole bunch of people over here at Pardee Hospital. They can just walk up and down the hallways and heal everybody. If Jesus had been healing people, he could have healed everybody. So could these people if they really had the gift of healing, but you know they don't because it's not been given for almost 2,000 years. In verse 13, some Jewish exorcists, those are people whose specialty was casting demons out of people. When some Jewish exorcists attempted to cast demons out of some who were possessed with them, Remember when Paul's handkerchiefs and aprons were taken and people were demon-possessed, the demons came out of them. So these certain vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth." Then transitions from miracles performed by God through Paul's hands, including the casting out of demons, to the attempt of some Jewish exorcists to cast out some demons in the sense of "and" or "now." Certain of the vagabond Jews is some from the itinerant Jews, meaning they went from place to place. They are further described as exorcists. It means those who cast out evil spirits or demons by invoking deities. Took upon them is endeavored, tried, or attempted to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, is to name or to use or to pronounce the name of the Lord Jesus over the ones having evil spirits. Saying is used in conjunction with took upon them, indicating a fact in addition to took upon them, or how they took upon them. Its tense indicates ongoing or repeated action occurring at the same time as the action of took upon them. If showing a fact in addition to took upon them, it's understood in the sense of "and were saying." If showing how they took upon them, it's understood in the sense of "by saying." What these Jews were saying is, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth," which means we are imploring you, demons, by Jesus whom Paul is preaching or proclaiming. Well, among these exorcists were seven sons of a man named Sceva. Now, I'm sure you wouldn't want his name, but in case you're looking for a new name, there's another one you could check out. I'm sure that you've already checked it out and decided against it, right? I'm trying to get this baby called Little Crispy, but I don't think the parents are going to go for that. All right, anyway, back to the text. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew and chief of the priests, which did so. And transitions from verse 13 in the sense of "now." There were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew and chief of the priests, which did so. It means some seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish high priest, were doing this, meaning were imploring the demons by Jesus whom Paul was preaching. In verse 15, the evil spirit surprised them. He asked who they were. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye?" And transitions from what the seven sons of Sceva were doing to the demon's reaction in the sense of "then" or "now." The evil spirit is the spirit, the evil one. It functions in the Greek text as the subject of "said." Answered is used in conjunction with "said," indicating a fact in addition to "said" or "time." Its tense indicates that its action occurred at the same time as the action of "said," and it's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to "said." If showing "time," it's understood in the sense of "when the evil spirit answered." And what the evil spirit said comprises the rest of this verse. "Jesus, I know," emphasizes Jesus, which has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, and this emphasis has been retained in the King James translation. "And Paul, I know," emphasizes Paul, which has likewise been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text. This emphasis has likewise been retained in the King James translation. It suggests, "And with Paul I'm acquainted," but introduces a question in mild contrast to "Jesus I know and Paul I know. Who are ye? Who are you?" Ye is used for emphasis and has also been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, but you, who are you? According to verse 16, the man with the evil spirit attacked the sons of Sceva. The demon didn't do that with Paul. And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And continues the narrative, the man in whom the evil spirit was, where man is the generic term for human being, it suggests the person in whom was the spirit, meaning the evil one, leaped on the seven sons of Sceva, used in conjunction with prevailed, indicating a fact in addition to prevailed, time or means. Its tense indicates ongoing action occurring at the same time as the action of prevailed. And it's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to prevailed, but if showing time, it's understood in the sense of while leaping on them. If showing means, it's understood in the sense of by leaping on them. And overcame them is overcame the seven sons of Sceva, which is used in conjunction with prevailed, indicating a fact in addition to prevailed, time or means. It means and subdued them. Its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of prevailed, and it's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to prevailed. If showing time, it's understood in the sense of after overcoming, after subduing them, or after he overcame them, or after he subdued them. But if showing means, it's understood in the sense of by overcoming or by subduing them, prevailed against them. He prevailed against the seven sons of Sceva, and it suggests won out against or won out over them. It sounds like it was quite a fight. One against seven, and the seven lost. I'm sure that they would never try this again, but I wonder maybe if they did try this tactic. So that suggests with the result that they, meaning the seven sons of Sceva, fled out of that house naked and wounded. Fled out of that house, meaning out of the house where they had attempted to cast out the demon, suggests that they sought safety in flight. And it's understood in the sense of ran away. Naked and wounded has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally that naked and wounded they fled out of that house. Well, naked implies that at least some, if not all, of their clothing had been ripped off, and wounded suggests that they were in a state of having been wounded. Now, how seriously they had been wounded is not stated, but I'm suggesting a little humor here. I'm sure they didn't think it was funny, but I cannot help but wonder if these seven sons of Sceva ever tried this tactic again. My guess is they shied away from it in the future. Verse 17 indicates that the incident regarding the seven sons of Sceva was well known locally. As a result, Christ was held in high esteem. Do you suppose God allowed this information to get out and circulate around the area? Of course he did. Was that good for the gospel message? Was that good for the fact that Paul had seen many demons cast out of many people? Sure it was. You can't do it without Christ, is the point. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. This incident regarding the seven sons of Sceva was well known locally. As a result, Christ was held in high esteem. And transitions to the next thought in the sense of now. This, meaning this incident with the seven sons of Sceva and the demon-possessed individual, This was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. That means it got out and was widespread. You can imagine the ladies as they're hanging their laundry out on the line after this happened. We're all talking with each other. And did you hear what happened over there? This became known to all, both Jews and Greeks, who were inhabiting or living in Ephesus. Now, Ephesus was a good-sized community, and fear fell on them all. That's the first result of the incident involving the seven sons of Sceva. Fear suggests alarm or fright fell on them all, suggests befell or came upon them all. The second result of this incident is indicated by, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. The name of the Lord Jesus represents the person of the Lord Jesus, and everything about him was magnified, suggests was held in greater esteem, was exalted, was glorified, or was spoken of highly. Do you suppose some people got saved as a result of this? I would think so. That's a possibility, certainly. In verses 18 through 20, Luke summarizes the result of Paul's ministry in Ephesus. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. And many that believed came is, and many of the ones who had believed were coming. Many indicates a large but indeterminate number. It's not known how many people did this. That believed is functioning as a noun whose tense indicates a state of being. They had previously believed the gospel. Thus they were saved. People who came, in the tense of came, indicates ongoing or repeated action in past time. And confessed is used in conjunction with came, indicating a fact in addition to came. Its tense indicates ongoing action occurring at the same time as the action of came. It's understood in the sense of and were confessing their sins. And showed their deeds is used in conjunction with came, also indicating a fact in addition to came. Its tense likewise indicates an ongoing action occurring at the same time as the action of Canaan, and it's understood in the sense of and were disclosing their deeds or and were making their deeds known. Inasmuch as they were confessing and disclosing their deeds were evidently evil or wicked deeds. Thus they were getting right with the Lord as well as with each other. The next verse suggests that at least some of them had been practicing magic arts or sorcery. Verse 19 continues Luke's summary of the result of Paul's ministry in Ephesus, which began in verse 18. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. Many of them also which used curious arts is, and, but, moreover, or now, quite a few of the ones who practiced magic or sorcery or the things belonging to magic or to sorcery, and it suggests the colloquial who fooled around with magic or with sorcery, brought their books together is used in conjunction with burned, indicating a fact in addition to burned or time. Its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of burned. It's been translated as showing a fact in addition to burned. If showing time, it's understood in the sense of after they brought their books together. Their books were evidently books about magic arts or sorcery, which involved using supernatural forces to accomplish things which were not humanly possible. Of course, this was strictly forbidden in the Old Testament. These books may have been used by these believers before they had been saved. And some may have been still dabbling in the magic arts or sorcery after they got saved, and burned them before all men. Suggests, and were burning them before, meaning in the presence of or in the sight of all, which suggests that they were burning their books in public. It was a public demonstration which indicated that they were forever finished with practicing magic arts. Burned is the translation of an intensive form of the word and means burned up or consumed by fire. They burned them thoroughly. Its tense indicates ongoing action in past time. Now, they're burning these books on sorcery illustrates the need for believers today to stop practicing some things they engaged in before they got saved and getting rid of some of these things that they had engaged in prior to their salvation. These are things which would be sinful in and of themselves. As an example, pornographic materials should not be a part of a believer's life. And some people, I remember one man in one of my churches, he had a whole bunch of pornographic magazines and he had to get rid of them once he got saved. But how do you get rid of them? Do you give them to somebody else? No, you've got to burn them. You've got to destroy them somehow. That's what happened here. There are things in our lives before we got saved, or even after we get saved, that we sometimes just plain and simply have to get rid of. You can look at your own life and you can tell what things you have had to get rid of, and some things maybe you still need to get rid of. And continues the narrative. They counted the price of them as they calculated or computed the value or selling price of them, meaning of the books on magic arts, and found it 50,000 pieces of silver, which means that when they added it all up, it had a market value at that time of 50,000 pieces of silver, or of Attic silver, drachmas. It was an enormous amount of money. The value of each of these pieces of silver is difficult to ascertain. One estimate I found was published in 2024 is that each silver drachma had a value of $5.83. Now, how they determined that, I have no idea, and I'm not sure it's accurate, but if accurate, these 50,000 pieces of silver would have a market value today of between $250,000 and $300,000, which is more money than most of us would have in our checking accounts. Verse 20 concludes Luke's summary of Paul's ministry in Ephesus, begun in verse 18. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. So suggests thus, or in this manner, or in this way. Mightily is the translation of a phrase used to describe both grew and prevailed. It's been placed in a possession of emphasis in the Greek text, and this emphasis has been retained in the King James translation. It is literally with might or with power, and suggests powerfully. The tense of grew indicates ongoing action occurring in past time, in the sense of was growing. What was growing is the word of God, that is the word of the Lord, which suggests the message about the Lord or the message about Jesus. Not only was the message about Jesus, was it growing, but also and prevailed indicates that it was prevailing. It was having power or was winning out. It implies that it was accomplishing the purpose for which God had sent it. According to verse 21, Paul determined to travel through northern and southern Greece. That would be Macedonia and Achaia, and then head to Jerusalem. The purpose of his trip was to gather the collection for the impoverished saints in Jerusalem. After this, it was his intent to go to Rome. Paul mentions this in Romans 15:23 through 29. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward, or there, meaning to Spain, by you, if first I may be filled somewhat with your company. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia, that's northern Greece, and Achaia, that's southern Greece, to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It's not talking about their saintly quality as being poor. It's talking about their financial ability, okay? We've seen some poor saints too because they don't live for the Lord. But we've also seen some that were financially poor. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this and sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. Didn't work out quite the way Paul anticipated, but he did get to Rome eventually, but it was as a prisoner, not as on a missionary trip. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. After these things were ended, Paul purposed in spirit when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I've been there, I must also see Rome. A word appears in the Greek text, which was not translated into the English. It transitions from Paul's ministry in Ephesus to his desire to see Rome in the sense of and or now. After these things were ended, suggests after these things were completed, were accomplished, were finished, were at an end. These things refers to the things which happened during the course of Paul's ministry in Ephesus. Paul purposed in the spirit suggests that Paul resolved, he made up his mind, or he purposed in his spirit, or perhaps in the Holy Spirit, regardless of whether spirit refers to Paul's own spirit or to the Holy Spirit, it is believed that God, the Holy Spirit, directed Paul in his resolve to go to Jerusalem and eventually to see Rome. When he had passed through Macedonia, and Achaia is used in conjunction with to go, indicating time, or a fact in addition to going to Jerusalem. And its tense indicates that its action was to occur before going to Jerusalem. It's understood in the sense of after he passed through Macedonia or northern Greece, and Achaia, meaning southern Greece. To go to Jerusalem is to be going, to be traveling, or to be proceeding to Jerusalem. Saying is used in conjunction with purpose, indicating a fact in addition to purpose, and its tense indicates that its action occurred at the same time as the action of purpose in the sense of and said, and what he said comprises the rest of this verse. After I have been there, suggests after I've been in Jerusalem, I must see Rome. Is it necessary that I also see Rome, or I have to see Rome also? According to verse 22, as Paul's ministry was concluding in Ephesus, he sent Timothy and Erastus ahead of him to Macedonia in order that they might prepare the churches there for the completion of the collection for the impoverished saints in Jerusalem. Meanwhile, he continued in Ephesus. So he sent into Macedonia, that's northern Greece, two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus. But he himself stayed in Asia for a season. So transitions to what Paul did after resolving to go to Jerusalem through Macedonia and Achaia. He sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him. It's used in conjunction with stayed, indicating a fact in addition to stayed or time. Its tense indicates that its action occurred at the same time as the action of stayed. If showing time, it's understood in the sense of when he sent into Macedonia two of the ones who were serving him. The tense of ministered indicates ongoing action occurring at the same time as the action of sent. They were ministering or serving him. The two men are named as Timotheus and Erastus. Timotheus, or Timothy, was a constant traveling companion of Paul since Paul's second missionary journey. But he's not been mentioned by name since he and Silas rejoined Paul in Corinth in Acts 18:5. After this, Paul appears to have spent another 18 months in Corinth, completed his second missionary journey, spent time in Antioch in Syria, traveled on foot to Ephesus, and spent at least 2 years in Ephesus. Where was Timothy? Where Timothy has been since he rejoined Paul in Corinth and how long he's been with Paul in Ephesus is not stated, so we don't have any way of knowing. Erastus is also mentioned in 2 Timothy 4:20, which says Erastus abode at Corinth. And Erastus is mentioned in Romans 16:23 as the chamberlain or city treasurer of Corinth. But it's not clear if he is the same man or a man with the same name. Otherwise, nothing is known of him from the Bible. But he himself, speaks of Paul, stayed in Asia for a season. He stayed in Asia for a while, for a period of time. How long he stayed is not stated. You know how it is, ladies, when you ask your husband if he's coming. Just a minute. Or is it the other way around? When a husband asks the wife, are you about ready? Just a minute. Minutes have different definitions, don't they? Some are 60 seconds long. Others seem to be hours and hours and hours, especially when you're in a hurry. We've seen that Paul spent 3 months attending the Jewish synagogue in Ephesus in an effort to reach the Jewish people and proselytes with the gospel. When many Jews rejected the gospel, Paul stopped going to the synagogue but took the believers with him and for 2 years continued proclaiming the gospel in the school operated by a man named Tyrannus. God performed many special miracles by Paul. His handkerchiefs and aprons were brought to the sick, which resulted in many being healed and many demons being cast out. When 7 Jewish exorcists attempted in the name of Christ to cast demons out of those who were possessed with them, a demon-possessed man attacked them and overcame them, and this incident was well known locally. As a result, Christ was held in high esteem. The word of God grew and prevailed mightily. As a result, some who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them publicly. As you and I work at mastering the Word of God, and as we allow it to master us, it will likewise grow and prevail mightily in our lives and in our ministry wherever it takes us. Let's submit our hearts and minds to God's Word. Mastering the Word of God and allowing it to master us is exactly what we as believers must be doing, not only in the Calvary Baptist Church, but also in all other churches. Let's be studying it and seeking to practice it in our lives. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you that we have this wonderful privilege of studying thy word. Help us to understand it and to apply its truths to our hearts and minds. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.